You guys hear me or no?
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Bella.
And I'm Linda.
Before we get started, please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to our channel if you're not already. The likes help us get into the algorithm, and we have a lot to discuss today, with Trump's indictment out of Miami, Florida. We've got our guest and good friend, Anthony Cavazos from Informed with Anthony in the house, going to be providing some commentary throughout the show. Yeah, proper moment. What else do we have, Linda? We've got the Sims and what they're crying about this week, as well as some updates. We're going to poke fun a little bit on Passport Bros having a reality check. Yeah, we got a packed show, guys. So before we get started, like I said, please hit like and subscribe. And remember that Mostly Peaceful Latinas is self-funded and helped out by patriots. No Illuminati, no lizard people. So take an opportunity to check out our sponsors at SentryH2O.com. Use code MPL10. Sentry, our Sentry water that we keep at home so that the men in our homes don't turn gay like the frogs. We don't want the fluoride in the water.
We don't want calcified pineal gland that makes you the simp.
Facts. We want our nutrients put back into our water so we can stay hydrated.
Fresh and young.
So support the patriots over at Century H2O, who, by the way, are still dealing with the East Palestine, Ohio situation. They're still giving out free water filtration systems to the families out there. Please show Century some support. Buy their products. Support MPL, MPL 10. Supporting patriots, supporting Century, supporting us. And every time you buy a water filter, a lizard person dies.
That's good. Just come up with that. Guys, we have a packed show. We got about 53 people. We got Anthony Cavazos waiting somewhere in StreamYard.
Yeah, we do.
Let's bring on our father. Mexican dad.
Is there anything we can do about the background so that it comes out black?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
It looks kind of like whack.
It looks kind of a little like, I don't know, you know? Mm-hmm. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, what's going on, ladies? Can you guys
hear
me?
Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Oh, we can hear what he's saying. Hold on, guys. This is our first time having a video guest like this, so we're going to get it together. Yes, thank you. And then can you turn on the mic? Because I don't want to turn it on here and get a feedback. Before we get started, thank you, Adam. Always coming through and supporting MPL. Adam says, shout out to Linda's Mexican father stopping by per usual to say I'm so very grateful for both of you and all the effort you put in on the daily. Thank you so much, Adam. Yes, Mexican dad is here with us.
Look at
today.
That. Look at that background.
Look at Mexican dad.
With his American flag in the back. Oh, shit. Oh, wait. That is my phone.
Anthony, check your mic settings. We can't hear you. I thought it was us, but it turns out it's you, bud.
I can definitely hear you.
We can hear you now. We can hear you now.
We can hear you now, bro. Welcome to the show, Mexican dad.
Hey, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it, ladies. ¿Cómo estamos?
You know, I mean, we could be better. You know that we're in mourning right now with the news about dad's indictment. So we're going to definitely talk about that. We've been watching you doing big things in SoCal, out in LA County with the school board and your activism efforts. So we definitely want to go into that because.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Hold on. She's going to put the volume on her computer. Oh, nice. We made it work. It's dark now.
No, it comes up with an echo. I can't put it on my computer.
It comes up with an echo?
Yeah.
Sorry, Anthony. It's our first time bringing somebody on. It's kind of ghetto, I guess.
I think you need headphones. I think if you connect your headphones to your computer, you're not going to hear the echo because the audio is coming out of your computer. So if you connect headphones, you should be able to speak into the mic.
We would need them to the computer and we're hooked up to the mic. We're going to have to make it work. Can you guys hear Anthony, Mexican dad, and us just fine with this setup? Let us know in the comments.
They can hear us. It's just you guys won't hear me if you.
No, we can hear you.
No, we hear you. Just hear you. Coming from far away. We got you. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
We got it settled.
Okay, guys. So breaking news out of Miami, Florida. The Trump indictment. Is it official already?
It's official.
It is.
So pretty much President Trump has been indicted by the Biden administration right around the time or coincidentally around the time that the Biden has, there was like some $5 million payment, right? Anthony, maybe you can tell us more about that. From what I read on Twitter, that it was actually that there was some findings about the Trump administration. I mean, sorry, the Biden administration and Burisma. And around the time that we have these findings, then comes Biden DOJ to indict President Trump. And he actually has to, I guess, visit a federal court in Miami on Tuesday at 3 p.m., which means we will be there on Tuesday at 3 p.m. to see President Donald Trump and show
and
his support.
Support in the ghettos, in of, the downtown ghettos
of downtown Miami. Also, President Trump's birthday is actually coming up. And Anthony, you're not here, but you know, we've told you a lot about our community and how Trump supporter, how Latinos are pretty much love Trump. They voted for DeSantis because of Trump. And so they're actually going to have a caravan, a car caravan, going from Miami, an organic car caravan on Sunday for Trump's birthday, going from Miami all the way to Palm Beach.
Now, the last time, every time that we have one of these caravans that, again, take place very organically, there's not like a Trump super PAC that puts them together or anything like that.
It's the community.
The community gets together and makes these packs. And every single time, these car caravans have thousands of cars in Miami-Dade County that come out just to support Donald Trump, show him love and the continued support that he continues to receive from the Miami-Dade County community. Unlike the influencers that moved to Florida post-COVID, want you to believe that are now simping for DeSantis, Florida is and will remain Trump country.
South Florida.
Miami-Dade County in particular will remain Trump country. Nobody cares for Ron DeSantis if he's not supporting Donald Trump. And we're going to make sure that all of those voters, the ones at the Domino Parks, the ones that listen to Radio Mambi or La Progres- or La, La Poderosa,
everybody,
all the people at La Carreta, we're going to make sure and make it our personal business that these people that don't have access to maybe the information of the Twitter wars and the internet that we've been seeing, that they know exactly what Ron DeSantis has been doing to Donald Trump behind the back of us, the voters.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah. So let's start off here. All right. So, Anthony, what are your thoughts on the indictment?
Wait, but just to backtrack a little bit, you said that there are influencers that moved to Florida.
Yeah.
Post-COVID. That's really interesting. Cough, Christian Walker. anyways.
amongst others, I heard recently that Jamie's actually moving down to Miami too. Yeah, she's moving down to Florida.
Who's that?
She did.
She did?
Yeah.
No way.
It's just very interesting that certain influencers have left the political scene after they helped botch their father's candidacy for Senate. Anyways, my thoughts.
Very interesting.
Very, very.
In fairness, you were never right about that. You were always right about that, might I say. You were never wrong. You were never wrong about that. You were always right about it. You called it. We did whatever we wanted, like kids tend to do. And Mexican dad jumped in and said, "Hey, it's bad news." But did
I'm
we
not
listen?
Saying, but I'm just saying. I'm just saying, dude. You know? And so it's really interesting. I mean, dude, man, this is history. You know, this is not how you want to make history, but to be indicted, to be the first former U.S. president to ever be federally indicted. He is the top runner for the Republican Party. He is leading by double digit percentage points. There's no one that even comes close. DeSantis continues to go lower and lower. There was actually a study just done by here in California. Of all places, the UCs, the Universities of California, research is being done. Stats are coming out that support for Donald Trump is increasing in California, dude. That's insane.
Yep.
And these UCs are known to be very liberal leaning, and they just can't hide the fact that more and more people in California, are essentially saying, dude, what is happening is not right. And I think that most people see through this. We've already had attorneys come out saying there is no case here. There's nothing here.
None at all.
Nothing. But you're absolutely right. What a distraction. What a distraction from the Burisma report that came out today, basically verifying that a sitting active president, you know, that just recently took a tumble, actually has incriminating evidence against him overwhelmingly that he took in money basically from a foreign government while he was vice president. This is, this should be, if we had an honest media, if we had an honest corporate news, if we had an honest mainstream media, that would be on the cover of everything. But of course, as I say often on my podcast, that the Democrats are really good at planning things. They have multiple cards up their sleeves, and they wait for moments just like this to pull out a card and do a mass distraction psyop on the American people so that they only focus on this and not on the Burisma. So, of course.
So, let me go back, because I wasn't sure about the Burisma thing. I saw it. I read someone's tweet, and I think it was Matt Gaetz and also Donald Trump Jr. Who were talking about that. But can you clarify, if you know about it, obviously, what that... Oh, and Anna Paulina, too. I saw her tweet on the way here. Can you clarify what that means for followers? What exactly were the findings about the Biden administration and Burisma?
So I'll be honest, I've been very busy covering the Trump stuff, which we were just talking about disinformation when I've heard, I also heard about the Burisma. But just to kind of make let everyone understand what's been coming up as a follow-up to Jessica, the Joe Biden report, you had Anna Paulina basically saying that the FBI have told them that they cannot guarantee the safety and well-being, and that the whistleblower...
That's what it was.
There's no way that they can... Hey, if this whistleblower comes forward with the information that they have, with the documentation that seals the deal that President Joe Biden as vice president took in bribery money from a foreign government, we cannot guarantee that this person will even be alive to testify after this whistle, this whole thing goes. I mean, just imagine that. That is how damning this evidence, that is how evidence-backed it is, that the own FBI says, if this person comes forward, agents that have it, people in, you know, elite cabals, you know, will be coming after this guy that is incriminating the sitting president of the United States. Now, what I'd like to draw everyone's attention to as well, and you know, we can, I think you guys said that you guys were going to be talking about this a little bit later. What are the odds that as this is unfolding, Gavin Newsom has announced today that he is asking for the 28th Amendment that makes it harder for Americans to own weapons, an initiative that, why isn't President Biden? Why isn't he the one launching the initiative for the 28th Amendment? Why isn't he calling for that? He's running for election again, as far as we know. Nothing's happened to him. Why isn't he launching the 28th Amendment initiative? Why is it Gavin Newsom? And why, just days later, on Monday, for the first time since 2010, Gavin Newsom will be back on Fox News, interviewed by the number one host, Sean Hannity, here in California, to talk about the initiative and other announcements. This is happening while Biden is looking to get investigated and possibly prosecuted for taking this bribery. Just a lot of coinkydinks, I think.
What do you think that we're going to see the Democrat Party switch out a Joe Biden kind of, at this point, a suicide wish, if you will, because he's going to have all this baggage with him? Do you think that we're going to see the switcheroo come in with Newsom?
I just don't know why else the mainstream media is pushing Newsom.
I can totally see that. And I can totally also see how Gavin Newsom can actually win an election without the irregularities, because Gavin Newsom is young. Gavin Newsom can actually talk. He is attractive. He's very popular, whether
conservatives want to admit it or not, he is popular even amongst Californians. You know that, yep. Anthony.
Absolutely.
He polls well with the Latino community, very well liked amongst Latinos for I don't know what reason. He has a family, a young family to present. He would actually be a much more challenging contestant against a Biden and even a Michelle Obama, I think.
I mean, I don't know if it would be more challenging than a Michelle Obama, because I feel like people still hold on to that. And she's a woman and a woman of color.
Right.
But I will say what I've said several times before. If they were going to install someone anyways, I feel like it's so offensive that it was somebody that can't even finish a whole sentence or walk. I would have been much more pleased with the occupation being led by somebody like Newsom, that, like you just mentioned, Linda, at least fit some kind of political bill. But I don't know. You think that he would perform better than Michelle Obama?
Yeah, I think so. I think Gavin Newsom would do better than Michelle Obama. I personally, if I had to choose between the two, I'd probably vote for a Newsom over Michelle Obama.
Let me ask you this. Everyone knows that Kamala Harris is not polling well. Everyone knows that Kamala Harris cannot carry the torch if Biden were to leave. Wouldn't it be interesting if we saw a Newsom Michelle Obama ticket? That to me would be unstoppable, because here's the thing.
Unstoppable.
Here's the thing. You cannot get rid of Biden without the black community saying, well, then obviously this means we get our first black female president,
right?
There's no way that the Democrats and the DNC can ever get rid of Biden as a front runner, have him step down, and just switch him for someone else, because the black community, one of the most loyal demographics, especially black women, would demand that Kamala Harris is next in line. So how do you fix that problem? How do you get rid of Biden and you get rid of Kamala Harris, who never polled favorably? She was hand selected because of her skin color and because of her sex, right? But nowadays, what is a woman anyways, right?
What is a woman? What is a woman these days? Speaking about what is a woman, I have a petty announcement to make.
Anthony wants to finish his point.
Just real quick. You solve both of those problems and not angering the black community by putting a Newsom and Michelle Obama as the vice president. And let me tell you something, man, exactly what you just said. That is a winning ticket even without the irregularities for Democrats. Yeah, that would be an extremely powerful, especially when the Republicans are more divided than ever going into 2024. And I am still hearing from Republicans that they will never vote ever again because nothing has been fixed about the 2020 election.
We know plenty of people like that. That was kind of the intention with it, right?
We know plenty of people like that. And
to discourage people in the entire process, that was kind of what the intention was. And it's been very effective.
What?
I'm not talking.
Oh, I think it's delayed. I'm so sorry. Like, the thing is, you know how it is, like, delayed on the thing. I'm like, I can't hear him. So I'm so sorry, guys, for cutting you off.
I think that's kind of the way that it goes. But I will tell you this, it's a very scary ticket to think about, because like both of you just mentioned, I don't think there needs to be any irregularities. Like that's a ticket that I can see a lot of people getting energized behind, particularly because there is a lot of division in the Republican Party right now. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine that there's anybody on the outskirts right now looking at our party and thinking, wow, it must be so cool to be a Republican. Yeah. Like maybe it was in 2018, 2019, even 2020, like we look ridiculous, you know, with the DeSantis wars and Trump's and the vaccine, and if not, and if the irregularities, there's just so much division that I can't imagine that we're attracting any new people to our party, which is part of the reason why I feel like the candidate has to be Donald Trump, because it's not about attracting new people to the party. It's about the personality that is Donald Trump.
Yeah. There's somebody here that says 2024 is going to be my last time voting and it's for Trump. And that's kind of where I'm at. I think the whole DeSantis thing has really turned me off. And like, I'm not trying to be dramatic or like it's politics. It's like, no. You know, I shared a video that we probably should have played here, but we forgot about it. The Asian man. So yesterday I stumbled upon a video on TikTok of an Asian man. It's a non-political account. It's an account of a daughter and a father. The daughter shows all the cute things that her older father does and stuff like that. And one of the things was her asking him, Dad, are you going to vote for Ron DeSantis? Are you going to vote for Ron DeSantis? And he says, no way. And he's like, but why not, Dad? He's a Republican. You know, he's an elderly conservative Asian man. And he says, because of what he did to Donald Trump. And again, like, this is not a political person. They're not influencers. This isn't a cultist, as many of people like to call us here. He goes in to explain that it's a very dishonorable thing that what he did to Donald Trump, because of what Donald Trump did to him and how he helped him get his current job right now. And to be honest with you, seeing the way that the deception of the DeSantis campaign, which we're going to get into in a little bit, how they are using bots, how they are using AI. And this is something that we've been covered extensively on this podcast before it was popular to do so, before people were on board, when people were just saying, you know, you guys are a part of a cult, and the only reason why you're trashing Ron DeSantis, we really weren't trashing him. We've never called them a meatball or a rhino or a globalist. I think meatball is funny, but we've never gone into the route of saying he's a rhino or he's a globalist or he's a DeSoros and stuff like that. We've left it up to factual stuff. Like, these are our findings. This is what we've seen. These are the bot accounts. This is what they're doing. This is the media that's paid by him, including Will Witt, whatever. But to me, it's just a turnoff. Like, I don't really even want to engage in politics anymore because of the current climate, because of how dramatic it is, because of how low energy it is. So I'm on that page, by the way, of like, I don't really know if I'll ever vote post-2024.
In fairness, when you look at it, that's kind of what the operation is supposed to do, right? Like, like Anthony just mentioned, DeSantis is trailing behind Trump. Like, the poll numbers don't show that he has an actual winning shot against Trump. So why jump in? Right. What other, if there's nothing there that shows that you can win, then why jump in? Mm-hmm. Well, you're jumping in to create that division because you want to slow down the momentum of MAGA. Mm-hmm. If you have a united party behind Donald Trump, then there's no stopping him. But what we do know is that the Democrats, just like members within our own party, hate Donald Trump and want to stop him. So the only intention of bringing in a candidate like Ron DeSantis and his very toxic campaign is because the intention is exactly that. It's to tire you out, wear you out. What's the point?
That's where I'm at.
I don't want to do this anymore. A lot of us are tired, and it's understandable too, but it's got to be mentioned that that is very much the intention of the operation, to wear us out so that we don't show up in historical numbers like we did in 2020 to support Donald Trump in 2024.
Mm. Yeah. By the way, quick shout out to
Just Chillin', our little friend in disguise. Our
love
friend
y'all.
In disguise.
Shuda was here. Shuda, we love you, and we're so happy that you're here. And can you DM me so I can tell you some private stuff that you're gonna be excited about? I don't want to say here because you know we got eyes and ears everywhere.
You know, we got eyes and ears everywhere. So hit us up.
Linda.
We always got news. We've learned our lesson.
Yeah. Anthony, just really quickly, we want you to tell us about the Armenian parents.
No, not very quickly. I want to hear every last detail, Anthony. Tell us about the fight that you're currently having at the school board. You know that this is something that we dealt with for the last 2.5 years. We had historic wins in Miami-Dade. We flipped the Miami-Dade County School Board into the largest conservative body at a national level for a school board, something we were very proud of. We were involved in what's going on in the curriculum for the kids. I'm fighting back. So to watch this momentum happen now out of LA, which, you know, you guys tend to be the butt of jokes so often. People always say like, oh, who wants to live in shithole California? Or, you know, there's nothing. It's a liberal hellhole. And to see this momentum from parents at the school board, tell us more about that. What's that experience like? And what have you found?
Yeah, so the first things first, my question to Miss Linda, is that the blazer you were supposed to send me a while back?
No, I still have your blazer. No, no, no. This is a woman's blazer. Okay. By the way, Kanye West's birthday today. So happy birthday to Kanye West, despite the fact that you're crazy and you say stupid things. Support my idol day one. Nothing to do with MAGA. So I wore a Yay 24 for Kanye West's birthday because he's a genius. And it's not. This is actually a women's. I don't think you want this.
I just want mine.
It's a lady medium.
The one you have, remind me tomorrow. For real. You just don't remind me. But the one that I have for you is actually like a man's like black jacket.
It's my fault.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And the second thing, Isabella, you're absolutely right. We're always the butt end of every joke. But let me tell you something, man. I've met some of the greatest God-fearing, front of the lines. I mean, we're the tip of the spear out here. When you every single day have to live on the front line to communism, to tyranny, to these dictators, every single day, dude, like, let me tell you, some of the most radical people I've ever met are right here. Why? Because they have to live through this every single day. Every single day, our rights are being stripped away. Every single day, we are finding out that there are shenanigans happening at our children's schools.
Yep.
What does that do, man? That radicalizes people. And you know what? I think that is why Trump is polling higher, because this guy has promised to get back in office and get rid of everyone, to destroy everything. And look, there are a lot of neocons. There's a lot of people in safe red states that they've never had to deal with persecution. They've never had a governor that is actively on their behind. So they're just laid back. They're kicking back. They're allowing their cities to turn blue because they don't care. They live in the suburbs. Anyway, I can't tell you how many Floridians, how many Tennesseans, how many Georgians, how many Texans have come out and told me, oh, well, that's just a city. Who cares? They're so passive and so cucked because they've had it so nice for so long. We haven't. Mm-hmm. We're the tip of the spear out here, man. We are literally the 300.
Yeah. Can I just interrupt you for a second? Because you made such a good point. Since we turned Florida red, we turned Miami-Dade red election. What's actually happened is that I have been proven right yet again, and you've probably been proven right yet again, which is that conservatives and Republicans here in Miami-Dade just pretty much threw the towel and don't care about anything legislation. We just had a legislative session. There was really good stuff that passed by the DeSantis administration, and then there was awful things that were passed by the Florida legislature. And everybody stood back. Nobody pushed back. Nobody said anything because Florida is red. And that is actually when they take the most advantage of you.
Absolutely.
Because you are not paying attention because you are dependent on DeSantis or Trump or whoever it is that you chose.
You can have a safety net because your guy is in office.
Right. So my guy is in office. Who fucking cares? Sorry, cursing. Who effing cares? My guy is in office. I mean, I can literally tell you right now, the Floridians are going to be screwed this hurricane season when the insurance things falls through. The insurance stuff is probably what's going to hurt DeSantis the most here in Florida. Forget the cultural wars. He didn't win on Disney. And to be honest with you, most people are not paying attention to that. But when it comes to their pockets, when it comes to home insurance, when it comes to car insurance, health insurance, life insurance, Floridians are going to be struggling. That is not an economic agenda. That is not a prosperous economic agenda. So all of this stuff happened right behind our backs because people are sitting down, enjoying their margaritas on the beach and saying, who cares? We turned Florida red. Ron DeSantis won by 20 points. Who cares? Who cares? And so no one's fighting about anything.
You know what? And it's something worth mentioning because a lot of people give Ron DeSantis a lot of credit for the political climate coming out of Florida. And as heavily activated, involved activist as we were, this statement is very problematic for me because I think that one of the things that's truly made Florida different or that really made Florida stand out was that Florida had probably the biggest boom of grassroots activism in the entire country.
Right.
And that activism, continued activism that went on for several years starting in 2020, That activism led Ron DeSantis to make decisions that were being pressured by these very activists. And then he'd go up on stage and instead of giving credit to the people of the, or doing what the constituents have asked us to do, he would go on stage and take credit for those things as if though he had just come up with them in the dead of night.
Literally.
When in reality, what occurred in Florida is that the pressure from the constituents were in fact so strong that pressure that it left Ron DeSantis with no choice but to do the things that the people that were promising to vote for him and help his campaign forward were asking him to do. And I feel like it's been such a disservice to the rest of the country because you have so many people looking at Florida and saying, wow, what Ron DeSantis has done is such a great thing, dismissing the fact that what's happened in Florida is actually a result and a product of the people that have gotten involved. Of the grassroots movement that have been birthed out of Florida. Mm. It's not a Ron DeSantis thing that was different. It wasn't a politician that saved Florida. It was the heavy involvement by regular people like Linda, myself, and the hundreds of activists that we've worked with in South Florida. Mm. It was that involvement that truly led change in Florida. Mm. And when I see political commentators or influencers that are not from Florida or maybe just recently moved to Florida and were never involved in this kind of activism, give credit to Ron DeSantis, I feel like even more upsetting that our credit is being taken from us is that I feel like this empowermentship that should be given to the people is being stolen from them by giving credit to a politician.
It's like, you know, I want to let you talk about this, but the last thing I'll say is like with the parents and the school board of the Miami stuff, Ron DeSantis didn't take notice of our efforts at the school board until 2022. We were fighting at the school board in April of 2021. People like Isabella and I, who don't have children, who were pretty much there just to support people, were called grifters, all these things that were not. Nobody cared. Nobody from his administration, Christina Pusha, or Casey DeSantis, who then started an initiative about Moms for DeSantis. No one cared until later on. Then it was like, oh, well, you guys didn't do shit. I mean, we've had so many people. It's like, not just us. Forget us. The parents, the children, everybody else that was involved. Like, who cares? Nobody cares what you guys did. It doesn't matter. It was because DeSantis gave the endorsement to the two people that flipped the seats. And it's like, well, how do you think people knew that we needed to flip those seats?
Right. Like we were the activists that chose those candidates.
How do you think that parents were aware and the community that we needed to replace those two people?
Correct. That were there for years. They were hand chosen by the community. The candidates that flipped these seats in Miami-Dade were all candidates that had to go to town hall meetings, spend months showing, knocking on doors, going to events with different organizations to meet the people and get them to know, because we were candidates that were chosen by we the people. But Anthony, you know, let's talk about that a little, because one of the biggest accomplishments that we actually had here in Miami-Dade County was that after we exposed that under Superintendent Alberto Carvalho's ruling, there was sexual abuse cases in our district that were basically being sweeped under the rug. Teachers that had abused children were being shuffled across the school board. Carvalho was in fact cooking the books to generate a higher rating for his school district that didn't really exist. And while we thought it was a huge win for us when he resigned from his position here in Miami-Dade, but now Alberto Carvalho is your problem.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's kind of the thing is that you guys know this already. When it comes to school unions, you know, they don't fire and get rid of. They shift people around. That's what they do. And that's not just unique from one state to another state. This happens all the time. I have so many LAUSD, the Los Angeles Unified School District, teachers that are unionized saying this happens all the time. We get reports of you know, sexual allegations, sexual harassment, sexual assault from teachers and staff, and then they're just shuffled around to other schools. There's been cases where they allege that some of the teachers are having sexual assault, sexual abuse toward high school students, and then they're sent to elementary schools, hoping that it just all goes away. And this happens all the time. And why? Because if you take a look at the union here in Los Angeles, the union president of the United Teachers of Los Angeles, of the Unionized Teachers of Los Angeles, is none other than Cecily Meyer Cruz, who is a known and self-declared Marxist, and she is a Black Lives Matter activist. That's actually in part why she was elected, was because she was such an adamant Black Lives Matter supporter. And of course, they want to have that activism. This is something that I have tuned in to the parent teachers, the Teachers Union of America. I forget exactly what it is called, but the Teachers Association. Having their convention, their national convention, and they're not talking about how we can help students post-pandemic. How can we help them recover? How can we help them do better math, science, English, reading comprehension, which has fallen substantially low after post-pandemic? All they're talking about is how can we teach more LGBT? And you can look this up. You can Google this yourself. Research the National Teachers Association. I think that's what it is, NTA.
It's the, I believe that was the organization with Randy Weingarten gave that speech, right?
I believe it was Randy herself. Yeah,
she's with the American Federation of Teachers, who the AFT, president of the United Teachers of Dade, our teachers union, is the vice president for the American Federation of Teachers. Which is the second, and Anthony, this is a point that you talk about so often, which is I love about your content, that you give such an emphasis to how important it is to recognize the power that unions have, the electoral power that unions have, because it's a consolidated vote. The AFT, if I'm not mistaken, it's either the AFT or another one of the teachers union, is the largest unionized body, is a teachers union.
Wow. Yeah.
So that is an easily mobilized vote. What does that mean? That if you're in the teachers union is going to feed down information to you on why you should vote for X, Y, Z candidates. And I just had this one organization basically funnel their 1 million members into whatever voting direction it is that they want, which is usually a very liberal one that excludes parents from the process of choosing curriculum or what's best for their children and what they should be teaching in schools and what their kids should be taking home with them.
Yeah, one thing I always advise is anyone that's unionized, get out of your union. That's my number one advice to anyone.
The most conservative thing. I would agree with you that one of the most important things.
Unionism is communism, and it doesn't even matter. It can be the fire department union. It can be the Los Angeles Police Department. It can be anywhere. There can be some exceptions in some states, but for the most part, almost all unions help Democrats get elected. We have someone in the comment section. They're saying, when I was a teacher, the union would send us mailers on who to vote for, and you can guess for what party. That's absolutely right. You just nailed it. The AFT, they have got over 1 million members. I looked at this, and it comes out to about $50 in dues every single month. That totals out to about $600 a year to be part of the AFT. That's $600 per person for over 1 million members. That's over $600 million a year that the union gets in member dues alone. That's not including anything else, any other kind of money that's coming in, special interest. I don't know exactly how this union works. That's $600 million every single year. And they have actually pledged that going into the 2024 election, if I remember the numbers correctly, that over $100 million will be going toward political parties and political candidates. And like the person in the comment section said, you can already go. So, I mean, when I talk about these unions, that's guaranteed money, guaranteed bare minimum. There's how much, and they actively work. And this is what's terrifying and terrible about this, that they actively work against their own union members. There's so many teachers that say, I am a closet conservative. I am a closet Republican. I never speak out because I'm scared to lose my job. I have so many liberals that, you know, that have infested and overtaken and infiltrated our workplace. They're always talking about how they hate Donald Trump. I'm scared to speak out. I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to, you know, I want to do good by my students. And I feel like the best thing I can do it is just focusing on myself, et cetera, et cetera. But then these people's union dues are going toward electing people that are voting against their interests, against their special interests, against their values and their morals. So to me, you know, I'm an independent journalist. I could unionize if I really wanted to. I've actually been reached out by the Los Angeles Unionized Journalists. I think that's what it's called, LAUJ, of independent journalists. And they told me if you pay X amount a month, even though you're independent, you're guaranteed media credentials, you're guaranteed legal protections. And the reason why they reached out to me was because one day after Roe v. Wade was overturned, I was covering some of the local protests here. And I ended up getting kettled in, where basically police kind of entrapped us because I was following Antifa and left-wing militants around the city of Los Angeles that were causing havoc and lighting up fireworks and fighting with police. I was following them, documenting it, and police eventually surrounded us so that they can watch video and they can finally determine, okay, who are the ones that were causing problems? Are they in this group? And so they basically detained us, which, again, the legal term for it was called kettling, which I later found out through this unionized journalist, which are all leftists, they're all communist militants that are part of this union that spearhead it, because I researched them myself. I see what kind of political activists they are. And they said, hey, man, we've never really known you, but we saw that you got kettled in. If you become a unionized journalist, we can help you with the legal fees to sue the police officers and guarantee that they get fired. And I'm just like, no, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, I don't want to do that. Like, they kettled us in because there was a bunch of them. Eventually, they let me go. It's not like I got arrested. And even if I were to get arrested, I'm sure that I would have been let out because there's no evidence of me partaking in any of it.
There was no wrongdoing on your end, right?
Exactly. Yeah. If you fear the police, just don't commit crimes, you know?
I've got a video here that I'm going to play shortly, which is of some footage of a fight that broke out at this school board meeting that you were recently at. And, you know, basically it shows Antifa, an altercation with Antifa presence being on there. Have you noticed any kind of coordination between the teachers' unions and Antifa?
Oh, absolutely. Right before this happened, so on last Friday, there was a protest at Sadako Elementary, which is in North Hollywood, California. And the reason why there was a protest was because some of the parents previous to this last Friday's protest were speaking up at school board saying that they didn't want some of the curriculum, a lot of it LGBT focused, including readings of LGBT themed books, talking about different families and different lifestyles, sexual lifestyles of other people, to all kids, K through 12 at LAUSD schools. Some of the Armenian Christian parents went into the school board meetings and said, we are strongly against this. We don't understand why specifically at our school, which is predominantly Armenian, this is being taught when a lot of us here agree that we are Christian. You know, a lot of people, if you don't know this, Armenia was the first Christian nation ever in the world. They were the first nation in the world ever in history to recognize Christianity as its national religion. So, you know, and in my humble opinion, I think Armenia should be our greatest ally, people that actually believe in Christ, you know, and that's just, you know, foreign aid should be going that way, making sure that they are able to get rid of communism there, et cetera, et cetera. But I digress. The second thing that I will point out is after these board meetings, there is a trans teacher at this elementary school, right? What they did, listen to this, what they did. In retaliation of the Armenian parents speaking out at the school board, they put up LGBT-themed with communist fists propaganda on that trans teacher's doorway. Yeah, at least that's what was being reported to me, in the shape of a cross to mock the Armenian Christian parents. So Armenian students were coming into the classroom. They were able to see the mock-up cross that had LGBT-themed propaganda and the communist fist, which, if you guys don't know, Armenia was under Soviet Union rule, and still parts of it are still, you know, under that rule and that ideology, you know, and so parents took offense to this. And that is when they decided, okay – if they're going to do this on purpose, then we're going to go ahead and protest. Yep. And so they decided that we're going to protest because this is disgusting what they are doing. They are posting this LGBT propaganda in the sign of a cross, mocking our faith, mocking our concerns. And so listen to this. A day or two before the Armenian-led protest, parent protest, by the way, at the school, mysteriously, it is being alleged that somebody, they don't know who, jumped over the fence during the weekend at the school and burned an LGBT flag and left it in front of the trans teacher's classroom. And that teacher later had to be removed for safety reasons. Mm. When I talked to the parents, they said, how convenient that they know that we are showing up on Tuesday morning and all of a sudden, it just so happens that somebody, police are still looking for this person despite all the security and all the cameras everywhere around the school. Somebody crossed over the school fence and burned a flag and left it in front of it. And then the teacher had to be removed. And then this is what started the whole narrative of hatefulness and bigotry. And of course, Senator Scott Wiener, arguably one of the worst senators and state senators in all of America, was already before the Armenians came out to protest on at Sadiko Elementary on a Friday, rather. Of course, Senator Scott Wiener is saying we're already facing hate and we only just begun Pride Month.
How and convenient.
So, yeah, of course.
It's and interesting so, to see the parallels because the coordination between Antifa and the teachers union here in Miami was very evident. In fact, forget collusion. They were Antifa.
They are Antifa.
They are very much Antifa. So I think it's an interesting way where, kind of reading about Antifa and experiencing Antifa lets you down two very different paths and you realize that.
Sorry, continue.
I guess they're just pointing out that when you start seeing it in action is, people will often ask, who's funding Antifa? Who's funding? How are they being funded? So on and so forth. And when you see it in action, you realize, like, wait a minute, Antifa are the unions. Antifa are the press, the newspapers, the local publications. Like, that's who Antifa is.
Well, we can go back to Antifa's history during the Weimar Republic, but we're not going to make the show about that. What I do have to say is that the Antifa that Anthony faces over in California is a very active, well-organized, well-funded Antifa. Cool. I actually read that one of the Antifa members that was arrested during this protest or altercation the other day has already been released in bail. And I think the bail was like $10,000. Correct me if I'm wrong, Anthony. I saw that on Twitter Andy Ngo's post. But that's how organized and well-funded it is. That they know that if they fight and they are charged with whatever it is, what is it, battery or it doesn't matter because they will just be let out almost immediately.
There's no repercussions and they're going to go just back. They don't have to worry about being labeled a terrorist organization per se.
Yeah.
And I want to play this video before we do. And then I want to get into the topic about how Moms for Liberty was just recently labeled a terrorist organization by the Southern Poverty Law Center. But first, let's read through a couple of these super chats. Thanks to our friend Oskino coming through with a super sticker. Our friend Robert Lee, one of the reasons I stopped teaching is because these schools spend more time talking about BLM and who kids want to sleep with instead of focusing on these kids know or what these kids know or are learning. And then we have a super chat from our girl, Stacy. I wanted to stop by and show my support. I'm hanging out with my family tonight, so I'll listen to the show tomorrow, but I'm not happy about Dad's indictment, and I'm not sure how I feel about the aliens arriving here in Vegas.
Literally, like, what's going on?
What is going on? So, Anthony, I'm going to play this video here quickly. This is set it up for us. Now, this is a fight that broke out at this protest that parents were having in regards to this issue with the Armenian teacher, correct?
Yeah, if you guys have the one that that I'm thinking about,
absolutely. Yeah, let me add to stream here. Oh wait. Yeah, I gotta start from the beginning. Sorry about that.
want us to move that way?
Admit it. Why are you here? Fuck off.
Officer.
Come on, take
that shit off your
fucking face, bro.
It's actually me right there on the right hand side.
You're on the right? Yeah. The video will tell you. And he's in the video. You can't see me right now.
That's me right there with the background.
Oh, that's me. Hey,
need some more.
There he is. Oh my god, they pushed you.
Yeah.
Oh my god, a phone. God, at least the ghetto is here. Way more ghetto. There's a lot more people there, bro. They only have like two. No, they don't have the company that we have. That's the best part about it. Oh, really.
Wow. Anthony, yeah. So tell us, who's having the altercation here? Is this parents against Antifa?
So what ended up happening was Antifa showed up because Antifa likes to show up to just about any cause that has to do with LGBT rights, things like that. I will say that since my arrival to that protest, what I did notice is, so that is kind of like the outside protesters, the people that are kind of there in solidarity, including parents that are opposed to LGBT curriculum. And secondly, Antifa and other militants that were there for the pro-LGBT side. However, the people that were actually going inside, because you got to remember this is a school board meeting. This was on Tuesday, so 2 days ago. It happened at 5 p.m. at Glendale Unified School District. So this is completely separate from the Satakoi incident, the Satakoi Elementary, which is part of LAUSD. This is now GUSD. So it's a different location, different school district. And actually, this Glendale area is heavily Armenian, and they're mostly conservative. So a lot of them are very, very shocked that GUSD was doing this. They had heard that LAUSD was doing it. I actually met families that said, this is why we moved our children out of LAUSD. There were parents present that said, I drive 20, 30 minutes out of my way to bring my kids to GUSD because we know it's a lot more conservative. The unionized teachers, et cetera, are not as, you know, as bad when it comes to the curriculum. So this was completely separate of that entire board meeting. This is, again, the out, kind of like the outskirts. You notice that this was actually a street. The street wasn't even like, it was near the location, but it was so far over and it had really nothing to do with most of the parents. But what I will tell you is that I made a video. It's on my Instagram. If you guys follow me at Inform with Anthony over on Instagram, I made a video breaking down the arrest of that Antifa militant and how he ended up getting arrested. And there was previous altercations with police by that same guy that got arrested. And there was even previous videos that I showed where he was getting into altercations with parents where police had to come and separate this Antifa militant from the parents. Finally, you know, I even have video where the police were like, dude, you need to get out of here. You need to get out of this side from the parents. Stop trying to antagonize. So he had already been warned. And then finally, you guys saw the part where it says, oh, man, you got hit. That's actually correct. So I later found out that this same guy, the reason why he was picked up and dragged was because he had a weapon inside of his pocket jean. And it turns out that it was like a mini baton. Antifa is known for carrying around Molotov cocktails, batons, spray mace, bear spray mace, which I believe is actually illegal in the state of California to carry that, especially just out in public, outside of like forest designated areas, if I'm not mistaken. But ironically enough, I got hit with a baton twice, and I still have a sore left arm. But I suck it up because I'm a Mexican dad. That's what we do. I
didn't even know. That's how we do,
right? I don't care. You know what I mean? Like the golpes come with what we're doing, you know. But it ends up that this guy had a baton. So I don't know if he actually struck me or if it was the police. I initially thought that it was the police, but upon further reviewing that video and learning that he had a baton, And he knew that I've been recording them previously. He had told me to stop recording them. I, of course, said, go kick rocks. I didn't tell him exactly like that. I might have said some slurs. You know what I mean?
You weren't as proper.
I wasn't as proper, you know, as that. But absolutely not, man. And they tried to stop me. They put the cameras on their face. I got assaulted multiple times throughout this event because, of course, they don't want it. Now, I do want to make one correction or at least one address. Somebody in your comment section said, what's funny is that Karl Marx actually hated the gays. That is not entirely true. I'm actually going through a book right now that I actually recommend everybody should read. It is called Gay Berlin. Linda, you actually talked about Weimar Republic. This actually tells you where it all started. A lot of people want to think that the trans idea, and I'm being serious, a lot of parents are shocked. They're like, I cannot believe it. Oh, no,
trust
I know.
Trust me when I say we know.
Oh, I know. But this actually tells you in the late 1800s, there were already transsexuals in Berlin, which was a much larger homosexual community on a global scale than San Francisco even is today. The first transsexual reassignment. I mean, you're talking about removing people's ovaries. The first, you know what I read today? Because for the challenge that I'm doing, I got to read 10 pages. So every day I read 10 pages of this book. Nice. Today I read that in 1913, the first mastectomy was done on a young 16-year-old female. You're talking about, you remember how it became like a big scandal with Matt Walsh where people were saying, where people were saying, oh, they're not performing these surgeries on minors. My guy, read your history. And you know what's crazy is all of this was normalized. Why? Because of people like Karl Marx, people that brought the Communist Party into Germany under the Marxist, the Russian Marxist, the Russian Communist, all of that stuff, dude, is involved.
Yes.
And it was actually the Communist Party. It was actually the Socialist Democrat Party, which is now known as the DSA. The spawning of Antifa was way before they were even known as fascists. Antifa has been a left-wing, extremist, militant group since before Hitler was even around. So the problem is people just don't know their history, which is why I read my history. Well, so I just wanted to correct that because a lot of people think that you know, Karl Marx hated the gays at the very initial, especially when Henry Hirschfeld started these science experiments and sexologist experiments and transforming boys into girls and girls into boys and mastectomies and double mastectomies on teenage youth. And then the pedophilia movement that came alongside the LGBT movement in Berlin, Germany, is that Karl Marx had written letters to Hirschfeld saying that although he wasn't on board, that he can sympathize with the gay movement because the communist empathy was always with those marginalized by the Christian church, by the Catholic church. And so even though Karl Marx did say initially, I'm not completely on board. I don't know if this is what we want in communist Russia. Eventually, he not only later came to support the LGBT movement, which was started in Berlin, Germany, but also, you know, ended up supporting the causes and saying we need to support this because we see that a lot of LGBT are now sympathetic to communism because their mentality was if we as communists support these sexual minorities, then they will eventually come on our side and fight the Christians and fight the Catholics alongside us, which is to them, that's all that mattered is how do we destroy the church and anything that the church was opposed against, especially in the late 1800s. Can you imagine trying to normalize pedophilia in the late 1800s?
It was normalized during the Weimar Republic, you know,
it was absolutely.
Yes, it was very easy to request a child. I know I've done extensive research on all of this, as we've talked about privately. And if you wanted a, you know, child that was a redhead, you would go to like, it was kind of like you would do it as like a prescription, like the red pill or whatever. Like they had certain keywords and things that they would ask in these clubs and in these brothels, and then they would be able to get you whatever you wanted.
Including children.
I think it's very, very interesting how we are not allowed to question World War II, which you just can't, you know, you can't question World War II. You can't ask why certain events and things happened without obviously being slandered and you could potentially your life ruined if you
can question just about anything right. else except that. We got somebody in the chat's got a question for you, Mexican Dad. It says, quick question, Mexican Dad, who was the doctor, what was his ethnicity, and what was his religion also, please?
Yeah, of course. So I actually have it pulled up for you guys. So his name is Ludwig Levy Lenz. It says here in his early life section, Ludwig Levy took on the double name Ludwig Levy Lenz early on and after the Second World War. And as he returned to Germany, he published under the name Ludwig L. Lenz. He came from a wealthy middle-class Jewish family. So it looks like, according to his early life, he is a Jewish man. And he actually performed the world's first, if I'm not mistaken, transsexual surgery and also mastectomy of a 16-year-old female that wanted her breast removed. He was iffy about the surgery. I don't think he just felt comfortable with it. But then the girl who was having suicidal thoughts actually tried to perform her own mastectomy using a razor blade. And it is only Ooh. After that that this surgeon ended up agreeing Scary. To the mastectomy. And so
that's interesting. So it's almost like the clear disorder that was taking place was further justified by we're going to do exactly. Did you guys ever hear? I don't know if that's something that went around in California, but like here, there was like an urban legend that some girl had taken way too much acid and ended up peeling herself like an orange.
No.
Okay, maybe that's just we've a crazy heard about the urban legend.
The bath salts in right. Miami.
I thought that was just it, but it's like, let's reward that behavior by actually peeling her like an orange.
Right.
Which doesn't make a lot.
I do want to say, which is pretty disgusting, but I do this on purpose, particularly because our enemies, Billy Corbin and everybody else in Miami,
the communists
of Miami who call us anti-trans and you're dangerous. I've been posting the fake vaginas that trans women get after their surgery. Thank God for Twitter that we're able to post them. And it's probably something that I never wanted to see in my life. It's one of the most disturbing, disgusting pictures that you will see. But I am doing it on purpose because people need to see the reality that even as adults, I don't care what adults do with their body. Have you seen the way those vaginas looked?
Yeah.
It's no wonder. I mean, look, I'm going to be honest. Like some of these people, most of them have mental health issues, whether people want to admit it or not. And they're people that should be helped and not made fun of and not like treat them like, you know, bad or anything and probably bring it over to like the Christ and the good side. But like, I'm sorry, when you butcher your body in such a way, you got to understand.
It shouldn't be celebrated by society. When,
like if you, these images are on our Twitter feed. So if you go to MPL 305 podcast or MPL podcast 305, whatever, our Twitter, you're going to see these images that I retweeted on our feed. And some of these private parts are literally falling apart. They're, you could see how they're rotting. You could see how they are rotting because it's raw
meat.
Skin, yeah, it's meat, raw that flesh. The flesh that you're never going to be able to have a normal functioning body. It's really sad. It's really sad.
I was watching a testimony today from a post-op transgender woman basically discussing how she regretted. She's like, I don't regret it. I always wanted it, but I do regret it because of the medical complications that now come from it. She's talking about how she has to force dilation upon herself, how that she can't have dilation through sex because it's very painful. So she's forced to dilate daily, regardless of how painful it is, because if she doesn't dilate, the wound will heal, create an air pocket that will create an infection and kill her.
Bro.
So now her entire life has to revolve around the daily dilations that she needs to. It's just, it's so unnatural. And the idea that this is being pushed on children and that it has been pushed on children for such a long time, like Anthony mentioned, is definitely a very scary thing. Now, Anthony, to talk about the other side of that, you know, Moms for Liberty has been an organization that has been very involved and has probably been at the forefront of fighting against this ideology at schools, trying to protect the children all across the country, particularly here in Florida, where the organization was founded. News has recently broken that the Center for Poverty Law Center, right? Southern Poverty Law Center, has designated Moms for Liberty as a terrorist organization. Now, seeing what it is that you've seen on the ground, like we saw out here at Miami-Dade school board meetings, the presence of violent Antifa, the existential idea that you could be doxxed, that you, your job could be taken from you, because these are the practices that Antifa operates in. What do you make of this distinction being made, calling Moms for Liberty a terrorist organization?
Not surprised. Not surprised at all. This is the communist regime that we're currently living under. Further and further pushing Christians, pushing anyone that is fighting for good to be called extremist, to be called white supremacist, they're trying to tie in everything into white supremacy. And you know what's so interesting is that in doing this, again, they're not only creating radicals. What this administration is hoping to do is that people finally act out in violence because they've been pushed so far, so that they can be like, you see, this is why we told you that they are a terrorist organization. And then later what comes is a government that tries to justify the arrest of these leaders. Mm-hmm. I mean, how despicable that the people that have been the most proactive, the most outspoken, and I say this almost embarrassingly for the males, that it has been females, it has been our women, it has been the mothers that have been the most outspoken at school boards throughout the pandemic and beyond. And this is what I actually loved about the Armenians, is that there was a lot of men. I was shocked to see that many men. I'm usually having to deal with Latinas. I'm usually having to deal with mama bears. I'm usually having to deal with white conservative women. For the first time, I'm seeing men finally step up. And so, of course, the Biden administration is sending the Gestapo to label these women that have been at the forefront, to label these mothers that have been fighting cultural Marxism inside of the schools for years now, and label them as domestic terrorists. This is what the end game is. They want to label everyone that fights for even a smidgen of moral righteousness as domestic terrorists, and everyone that pushes the Marxist idea as morally correct. I mean, dude, this is biblical. You don't need to buy crystals. You don't need to burn your sage. You don't have to do any of those things. You don't have to look to the stars or the way they move in the sky. You need to read your Bible, because this is all biblical, man. It you know, and I'm not saying that we're living in the end times, but literally it does say that you know, parents will turn against their children and children against their parents. Men will be women. Women will be men, because right is wrong and wrong is now right. And it's going to get a lot worse. But you know what, men? Your fighters are going to be right here in California just waiting for the nation to embrace, you know, what's coming, because it doesn't matter if you're in a red state, doesn't matter if you're in a blue state. The federal government will get theirs. They screw you no matter what. You know, and so it's not surprising, and it's, however, disgusting to hear that mothers fighting for their children are being labeled by the U.S. government as domestic terrorists. It is disgusting, and I pray to the heavens that whoever wins in 2024,
of course, corrects.
This is my opinion. Hoping it's Donald Trump that, you know, comes in and just completely abolishes these ABC government institutions that are running rampant as Joe Biden's personal Gestapo and communist militants labeling moms, dude. Imagine, dude, you guys did such a great job during the pandemic and post-pandemic at the school board meetings. There were moms that had disabled children. There were moms that children had fallen behind because of the pandemic. There were moms out there crying because they're so passionate and they care so much about their children's education, of not just their children, but for every child in these schools.
The future of the children in America.
Absolutely.
You know, Anthony, you brought up an excellent point. You know, we've been going pretty hard at the Manosphere Red Pill community. I don't know how much
how involved you are with that, or how much you know about the Andrew Tate bros of the world, and you know, the cult following community that kind of follows him. But you know, it's a community that's they pass off a lot of accountability to women, and that basically the downfall of society is that women have lost their way from traditional ways.
Can before I move on, can I just say something really, really quick before I move on to the subject to back off what he said? It's horrible what's happening to Moms for Liberty, or anybody for that matter, because even somebody like Matt Walsh has been labeled as an extremist by the ADL. Because the ADL controls everything. Nobody wants to talk about it because it's a Jewish organization. And therefore, if you talk about it, you're anti-Semitic, even though most Jewish people do not align with the ADL. By the way, none of my Jewish followers does. Some people don't even know what it is. But just because Jewish people run the organization, if you dare to question it or say anything, obviously you're anti-Semitic. Why do I say this? It's because all these normie conservatives who don't want to be labeled as Nazis, white supremacists, the terrorists, I don't do that. I follow the law. If they do not start being labeled as such, they're not going to react. And I don't mean react in the violent way. I don't mean react in the we're going to be destructive. I mean actually take action against these non-governmental organizations, because that's what they are, right? That is the reason why we have Soros is banned in Russia. Soros is banned in Hungary. Soros is banned in China. I don't like China. Fine. We don't like China. They're communists. Nevertheless, they still took more precautions to protect their nation from these organizations. That's what you guys have to put into perspective.
Correct.
So I only say that not because I want them to be labeled as such. I respect those women. They're doing an amazing work across the United States. They've taken a lot of action, but also because we need these normie conservatives to wake up. It's no different than 5 years ago when Alex Jones was banned on Twitter, and he was saying, "Hey, Charlie Kirk, you're going to be next. Hey, Matt Walsh, you're going to be next. Hey, Donald Trump, you're going to be next." And guess what? In 2020, we saw the ban of President Trump from literally every single social media channel. And thereafter, you guys saw that until recently, the Babylon Bee, people like Charlie Kirk, people like Matt Walsh, they were being censored on Twitter as well. So it's not until these people are affected and labeled as extremists, as a terrorist organization, as whatever, that they're going to start sympathizing with the rest of the people, with the fringe minorities that have already been labeled as such. That's all I had to say.
No, yeah, and you're absolutely right, because I've said this for a long time. If you think it's bad now, it's going to get worse. It has to get worse. Because way people worse. Still don't care. We just had special elections. Wisconsin's Supreme Court just flipped blue. There are cities in across Florida that just elected and flipped red mayoral seats to blue because, again, people are comfortable. They don't care. I know rich, wealthy people that have abandoned the state of California. And when I reach out to them, they said they want nothing to do with the state. They don't want to help local elections. And then they move to safe states. They move to red states and don't partake, don't influence, don't do anything to try to keep red states red. They just enjoy the life. They go out there, get suntan, whatever. They travel across the world, whatever the case might be, right? It's because people are still they just don't care enough, you know, and so it's tragic. And you're right in the fact that it literally has to come to everyone's eye. We're on the front lines. And what really kind of pisses me off sometimes is that you have people that have safely fled California, now in red cities, red states, that still follow me because I am based out of California, Los Angeles. And they're like, bro, just give up and do what I did. Just run away, go to safe grounds, whatever. I'd be okay with that if people were still politically active, but I can't tell you how many people have left the state of California for safe red states and they're no longer even politically active. They're like, dude, I went through like hell politically in California. I had to vote and I don't even know if my vote counted. I don't care about politics anymore. That's why I moved, to just avoid politics. DeSantis will save us. Greg Abbott will save us. Red governors will save us. No one's going to save you.
No one's going to save you. It's like I had to delete a post because I've been pretty blackpilled and pretty over the whole political scene and everything that's going on. And I'm tired of the constant crying and blaming of Donald Trump for everything from our own party and supporters. So the reason why I'm saying this is because the other day I posted something. I basically posted a video like Donald Trump wants to investigate why there is a rise in chronic illnesses amongst children, including autism, asthma, et cetera. He says, what the hell is going on? We need to investigate whether it's the food, the air, the pharmaceuticals, blah, blah, blah. He gave pretty much like a very like Robert Kennedy Jr. Speech or agenda. And, you know, a lot of people said, well, you know, how can we trust that you're going to do that on your second term when in your first term, you were supposed to have this vaccine panel or board or whatever, and you dismantle it because Bill Gates told you to, which is a completely fair assessment and fair criticism of Donald Trump, right? But then I make a response and I say, well, you know, I'll tell you what's happening with chronic illnesses in children, which is the childhood, the very aggressive childhood schedule. And I deleted it because I just couldn't handle all the people crying about Operation Warp Speed and Trump and this and that and just fucking garbage that had nothing to do with the current issue. And somebody in the comments, it was so crazy. She says, I had my child at home because I wanted to bypass the entire medical establishment and not be part of anything. I didn't want to be in a hospital, whatever. Also, I don't trust Trump. I don't trust him. I don't think he's going to help us. I don't think he's this. And I tell her, I say, ma'am, how come in the same sentence that you say that you took matters into your own hands to bypass the medical establishment and take control of your child and your birth and yourself with your family to have this birth at home, you are literally saying you're literally still trusting a politician where your health, or saying Donald Trump is not going to save us. And she didn't argue with me. She said, you're right. Like, my point is like, it's going to be up to people, right? Like, no one is going to save us. It's not going to be Trump, and it's not going to be DeSantis, and it's not going to be Joe Biden, and it's not going to be Robert Kennedy Jr. It's going to be the people standing up. I'm telling you guys that in the next year, you're going to see how Florida is going to become a way worse state of living conditions than comparable to California, because our cost of living is just as high as California now. A one-bedroom apartment in Midtown Miami is $3,500, the same way that if I were to move to the middle of Los Angeles or New York, probably get something smaller. So our electricity is way higher. Everything is way higher. Now, if you want to be a homeowner, you're going to be faced with a home insurance situation. And then we have red flag laws. We're not as gun-friendly as we have. Yes, we are going to get a concealed permitless carry or whatever. We still have red flag laws. I've been a victim of a red flag law, so I know exactly how in Florida they can take away your guns before you are even in court, before due process, okay? If you guys have been following this podcast, you know that we have a stalker still stalking us until this day who lied to family court and said that we wanted to kidnap her children because she is a woman and knows how to take advantage of the system. They literally gave her a temporary injunction, and we were served with that injunction. And in that injunction, they literally told us that I needed to give away my guns until we had court. Obviously, everything was dropped. I was able to get my guns right. But for that entire month, I couldn't have guns because somebody lied about me to the courts and they believed them.
Yep.
That's here in Florida, in the freest state of Florida. That's not freedom.
And it wasn't just you. It was actually, it was a whole group of activists that were targeted by this woman, conservative activists. She then exposed herself, of course, as a liberal after infiltrating our circles.
Right.
This woman was actually able to disarm at least, four conservatives that we know of?
Right. Just by lying over the same thing. Disarm
four conservatives just by lying. And these red flag laws allowed for this abuse of power to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, we've constantly... it is worth mentioning that when people know how to manipulate the system, particularly women, when they know how to manipulate the court system, will end up winning very often. But that's kind of what we saw. And Anthony, you know, to kind of go into that, you know, I don't know how much it is that you know about the red pill manosphere space.
He knows.
I mean, he does because he's a journalist, but probably not a lot because men, los hombres, de calidad, como Anthony, no se pasan the entire day on the internet you know, following Fresh and Fit pages and all of these other things. What do you think about the lack of representation from men? You know, we talk a lot about a society. A lot of these red pill circles like to reiterate often that men are leaders, that men do in fact lead societies, that societies would collapse without male presence. Something that, despite what our haters say when they call us feminists for calling out their cringe, we absolutely agree with. A society without men will collapse, which I think is a what we're seeing right now is a product of men not being involved. When you have groups of mothers that should be taking care of their children's basic needs, like eating and making sure that they have a safe roof and that they've got a home to go to, these women are now in the front lines of a cultural war where there is no male presence. So what do you make of the simultaneous rise of the red pill manosphere community and characters like Andrew Tate being idolized because they've got Bugattis and access to lots of women, while in real life, we've got women in leading in the front lines to truly protect the future, which is children, which should be what men most value in this world, as far as protectors go.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't know what Fresh and Fit is. I assume it's like Andrew Tate style, kind of like commentary.
Yeah.
What is that? Okay. So I actually lost a lot of followers because about maybe a year ago or so, Andrew Tate kind of came out stating something about, he said a comment on fatherhood, basically stating that that if his children were to ever come up to him and they started crying or they had a problem, that they would tell him, oh, don't come to me with this problem. Go talk to your mom about it. And it was kind of like his delivery, which I think is kind of like the bigger problem with Andrew Tate is his delivery. Now, some people like to just kind of harness that energy and be like, oh, it's because you're soft, right? Well, you got to remember that I'm a successfully married man of over 15 years. I got married at 18 years old. I have three children of my own. I live in one of the most expensive areas in the entire country. I have a 5-bedroom house. I have no debt. Both of my cars are paid off. I'd like to say that I'm pretty well off, and I might not have a Bugatti, but I think that Andrew Tate's Bugatti was repossessed, so neither does he. it was taken away, you know, when that happened. I don't know if it's been returned or not. But here's my thing. I understand that there are a lot of young children, especially young boys, that do need that male father figure. My children don't, because I am here, right? And so here you have Andrew Tate, who is a man that I think has multiple kids. I think he's got 11 kids, if I'm not mistaken. Again, I'm not well known.
Oh my God, 11 kids.
I know that he's got a few kids. I don't know if it's 11, right, but I know it's a number of them.
And the thing is, he has them with multiple families. And so the thing is that's not, as a Christian man, like, that's not what you do, right? You don't go around with multiple women and have multiple kids or just abandon your family, whatever it is, to seek this kind of like thrilling life in the rich culture and this manosphere, I guess that's what it's called. The reality is that as a Christian myself, I am loyal to one woman and one woman only, and that is my queen. That is my wife. And to me, there's no better example to your children than to show them that as a man, as a Christian, you build your kingdom and you're there for your wife and you're loyal to her. Now, I've seen some other podcasts, the Whatever Podcast had this other guy. I think you guys had him as well. I forget what his name is, that said that, you know, he was asked by Lila Rose, who is a traditional Catholic woman married with children. And she's the founder of the largest, I believe, pro-life organization, nonprofit in the nation, Live Action Org. She asked this man, again, I don't know what this guy's name is, but I know that he's Justin Waller. Ask him a simple question. Here you are on this podcast, sir, and you're talking about high value and discipline and the need for men to be strong. But why can't you tie yourself down to one woman? And his answer was, that's just not the way I'm built. That is correct. And a lot of people would argue, and they tell me, Anthony, he is right. He is objectively right. Men are wired to have and want to be promiscuous and to want to have lots of women. What is wrong with that? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with that. My Lord and Savior, my King of Kings, has commanded me. It is marriage is between one man and one woman. I am not called upon to be promiscuous with others. Besides, if you marry a Latina, it's like being married to many women because you never know how they're going to wake up. One day they'll slash their tires. One day they'll cook you food. You just don't know.
You literally never know, right? You don't even know. You could be poisoned with your sandwich or your sancocho that day.
You don't know.
I'll tell you this. Somebody said everyone's idea of a high value man is different, and I agree with that.
Yeah.
Because our idea of a high value man is not somebody that has a Bugatti, but somebody, a supermodel or somebody that would be considered, of a higher status woman than us or a class or whatever. She could want the man who's going to give her a penthouse and a Bugatti and a monthly trip to Paris, and she has to fly private. So it really depends, and we're not here to judge upon what you guys think.
But it really all depends also because, like, even that girl, even a girl that's got, like, a high status and is probably, like, a beautiful woman, like, they still want stability. You know, like, right. Giselle Bundchen still married the star quarterback of the Patriots. Right. Like, she still wanted to get married and have that family life. Right. And I think that a lot of these men that are represented by the Manosphere, which, might I add, I think that the biggest problem of the movement is that it is, in fact, a godless movement. Mm-hmm. They claim religions only based off which religions are going to give them access to the most women. And that's what I do think it's most flawed about the movement, that because it's godless, it's got no real direction.
What I've noticed within this movement, there's also there's a lot of, like, low self-esteem. And you see that also, there's a lot of low self-esteem. And you see that also with, like, OnlyFans models. And Megan Fox came out recently, you could say she's a beautiful, stunning, banging body. She was just in the cover of Sports Illustrated. And she came out to say that she's always hated her body. She has a beautiful body and body dysmorphia. So a lot of times it's individuals that have are perceived to be that have a lot of confidence or show off or whatever are actually the ones that are the least confident. And I feel that with the Manosphere.
I've definitely seen that with women.
Me and Bella were making the case last week, and we have in the last two podcasts, how even if you're a short man, you're still going to be, you can still get laid, right? So if you're 5'6", you can get a girlfriend who's 5'2 or 5'4". And let's not talk about the girls who are taller.
It's about, to add to the comment that it's not even so, it's so much more than just getting laid. Like, as a short man, you can find a valuable woman to you. And again, it all depends off what you have access to. I'm going to repeat again what we said last week. The internet gives men and women alike a fake illusion on what options you have available to you. You can have whatever preference in the world you prefer. You can be a 45-year-old man that would love to date a 21-year-old woman. That doesn't mean that a plethora of 21-year-old women are going to be available to you as options.
Right.
So in reality, what you consider high value can only be determined by what you have access to.
Right.
What is high value according to the options that you have? We know that statistically, men tend to have less options than women. So if your only two options is a severely obese and overweight virgin at 22 years old and a single mother that's 35 that takes care of herself and has a job and does all of these other things, then your high value option is in fact the post-wall single mom and not the 21-year-old virgin.
Well, so can I say something real quick?
Yeah, of course.
I just wanted to add in. So I pulled up the article because some of the people were kind of laughing off my comment or saying that they didn't believe it. But this is a fact. Andrew Tate has said that he has anywhere between 10 and 12 kids with different women around the world. So Andrew, this is source here. How many wives and kids does Andrew Tate have? Andrew Tate recently revealed to streamer and friend Aiden Ross that he has more than 10 children around the world with different mothers. And his exact quote, if I'm not taking it out of context, he said anywhere between 10 and 12. That is not a disciplined man. I mean, sure, he is a good-looking guy. He's been able to achieve a lot of wealth. How he achieved that wealth is in question. I believe that is why he has been arrested. If you want to say he's been wrongfully arrested, then sure. You know what I mean? It's not that I'm sitting here saying that I trust the Romanian government. Obviously, someone that I would argue a lot of what he says is inspiring. If you take away some of the facetious delivery ways that he makes it and how he speaks about women, which to me, again, that's not the way I would deliver it. But, you know, my son, when he was watching Andrew Tate videos, I had to sit down with him and tell him why Andrew Tate is wrong. One of the main reasons, one of the biggest reasons why I spoke out against Andrew Tate was because he claims to have been a Christian man. And then recently, I think as little as a year ago, he said he was switching his religions because Christianity is not manly enough for him. And so he is now going to Islam where it's more based. Imagine being such a feeble-minded, such a spiritually lackless person that you claim and profess to know the true King of Kings, the one true Savior of the world, and saying that you are simply changing it because it doesn't fit your lifestyle, who you are. And Linda, you said it earlier, a religion that now allows you, again, I don't know, I'm not entirely on point with Islam and the rules around marriage and stuff like that. But I have heard and I have seen that sometimes they have multiple wives, etc. But imagine openly stating that you have, when you are asked, do you have children? You say, I have somewhere between 10 and 12 kids.
Right. You can't even.
That is not a father. That is someone who drops off, you know, not to get too graphic here. There's someone that hooks up with a person, has children, and then abandons them. They can be rich. Somebody could argue, Anthony, these people will probably be better taken care of with money that you'll never make, more than you'll ever make. I'm okay with that. Because to me, being a father is showing up for those moments. Tomorrow is my seven-year-old's last day of first grade. I will be there to drop him off tomorrow, and I will be there to pick him up tomorrow and buy him a Happy Meal. We don't do fast food all the time, but that's what he wanted for his last day. And I guarantee you, when he is 30, when he is 50, when I am on my deathbed, hopefully in a very long time, he will remember that Happy Meal more than the fact that I was able to put him through any school he wanted to, which, by the way, schools are just overrated now anyways. The second thing I'll say is that I, you know, and this isn't about me. I'm not trying to make this about how I'm much better than Andrew Tate. There's so many people that clown on me. Oh, you're chunky. Oh, you're stupid. You'll never be Brazilian
jiu-jitsu
world champion. This is that. If you are not present for your children, mm-hmm. And I mean truly present, creating these memories. I mean, mm-hmm. Look, man, I'm in Los Angeles, front lines to tyranny and the parent fight. You guys mm-hmm. know too well out there in Miami as well how mm-hmm. bad the mm-hmm. fight is. Mm-hmm. My son, despite knowing all of this, has started a chess club at his school. He got baptized last year. And then just recently, I found out he started a fight club in school and he got in trouble mm-hmm. for it. And now he's had to stop that fight club because I told him, mm-hmm. knock it off. Don't do it. But hey, but
you the initiative. I'm just impressed with the initiative, honestly.
Right.
I was just shocked. But I told him, dude, you're smarter than that. I raised you smarter than that. Mm-hmm. If you're going to start a fight club, A, don't speak about fight club. Mm-hmm. Secondly, don't do it at school. Come on, man. You know what I mean? But look, I go with them training. You guys see it. I am on my social media. We are doing the 75-day hard challenge together as father and son.
Yeah.
These are the moments that he will cherish forever. Amen. More than my color of my Bugatti, more than anything. And my daughter, by the way, too, she just recently got baptized. Even though she's going through all the curriculum and all this stuff that's being exposed to her, even though we live in a very liberal city, this is not, she has gotten baptized and she has accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. That, beautiful. To me, like, my wife would see me as the most high-valued man, more than Andrew Tate, who has abandoned his children.
Not just your wife. I think we can all agree that, you know, you are the definition of a high-value man. And when we speak about that, and we get a lot of pushback from people that follow us, because, you know, we end up in the algorithm of a lot of these nerds, that say the high-value woman that you claim that you want are going to find high value in men like Mexican dad and not in men that are going to make you one of seven and allow you to take pictures inside of a Bugatti.
So
it's not based off any facts.
Not only that, I'm just going to end it real quick. And again, this is nothing about me. I'm not the best person. I'm not a perfect man, but I come from a broken home. I remember growing up not having a father. My parents never married. I remember at church them calling up all the fathers every single year for Father's Day and praying over the fathers and their children. I never had a father that got called up and was there for me. So I made an oath to myself. I stayed away from the gangs. I stayed away from drugs. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I used to get very drunk and I dropped that. And I used to smoke before my children came into the picture. And I stopped because to me, they're the most important. And I remember, I still feel that emptiness that I had never being able to see my dad. So I made I swore to myself, no matter how bad it gets, I will always be there for my children. And to me, that's more important than seeking other women. That's more important than, I mean, imagine convincing people that you're the most highest valuable man on earth and that you have so much discipline, but at the very first look of a young, attractive girl, you lose composure because that's what it is. That's what it is. This man that was asked by Lila Rose, why is it that you can't be loyal to one woman? I mean, he got so triggered because they make all this money off of young men saying we are the epitome of what masculinity is. But their biggest weakness is a young, beautiful girl walking in front of them and they just lose composure. Everything goes out the window. You're no longer a Brazilian world champion. You're no longer this high value man. If your kryptonite is that you're not able to keep composure and discipline around young, attractive women, bro. I mean, that
I wonder if you got to the part in that same podcast. I'll give you the floor. Now, I don't know if you got to the part in that same podcast because you have a daughter where Lily Rose basically tells him, like, you know, your daughter's going to see that and she's going to see that her mother's not the only one. And how do you make feel about that? And he says, my daughter's going to have to accept my lifestyle because I'm not about to simp for my daughter.
And I mean, imagine making those statements, man. Imagine making those statements for your daughter to grow up. I mean, you want to talk, and these are the same people. Linda, you made a great point, and I want to actually address this now. You said these people sit around and blame women. You can ask my following. You can ask my audience. For years, I have taken to social media, and I have 100% blame men. There would be no OnlyFans if men stop simping. In that very same podcast, a lot of these women were saying that almost 80, 90% of their audience are males and that about 50% of them are married men and that even a percentage of those, when they upload their profile picture to sign up for OnlyFans and be able to register and subscribe to these young women in their teenage years, have their spouse in their profile picture. To me, there is nothing more despicable than that. And I say this all the time. I'm like, dude, these people will hit their vape, listen to Andrew Tate, and come and, you know, crap on young women that don't stand any chance in today's economy to ever find any kind of stability, that have father issues. If you were a better father, if this country had better fatherhood, if we had a better patriarchy, forget toxic masculinity. If you just had real men stepping up, showing up to school boards, teaching their daughters right from wrong, disciplining their children. I mean, dude, all these problems would go away. Why? Because of a man. And you know what? We even can bring it back to scripture. Genesis, literally Genesis, man was created to lead, named every animal made by God and said, you will reign. You will be the king. You will be the epitome of what is everything that is beautiful in my creation, and you will rule over it. Then came the woman, because notice that the man felt lonely. And then what happened, right? The woman, Eve took from the forbidden fruit, right? Gave it to Adam, convinced them, and people blame Eve. Like, oh, well, if only she had, you know, no. He also had a choice to make. And guess what? He was punished after he tried to blame her. So if you think about it, God punished Adam, not just because he ate from the fruit, but because he took bad advice and he allowed it to happen.
And he failed that meeting as a man.
Exactly. And then when he was asked, Why is it that you have allowed this to happen? He tried to blame her. He tried to shift the blame, not from himself as the original steward of all creation and over his wife. He tried to shift the blame over to her. This woman that you created for me is the problem. I'm not the problem. She's the problem. Mm-hmm. And that is why God punished man. And now you have all these men out here talking about, oh, well, if only women wouldn't make porn. Oh, if only, you know, they would stop the OnlyFans. My brother in Christ, how about you take ownership? How about you take accountability that it is the lack of the real patriarchy that we are in the mess that we have? Because guess what? There would be no OnlyFans models if men, and I get, and you know what's even crazier? I guarantee you a lot of these men tune into their OnlyFans in the evening, in the morning. Mm-hmm. They do whatever they need to do into their sock or whatever, you know, they do. Yeah. And then they tune into the manosphere talking about high energy and other stuff. And they're thinking to themselves like, yeah, bro, we're so much better than women. These women need to be stopped, dude. You know what I mean? Like, imagine, dude, like how much of a simp, how much of a cuck you are, man. And then here you have these men trying to blame women. I 100% blame men for just about everything that is wrong with today's society. You stop taking the leadership roles. You stop taking these leadership positions in your community. Yeah. You are cucked, man. You're there vaping away, watching your Disney app, watching the same movie on repeat, and sipping on your Bud Light while you complain online about how everything sucks. I'm sorry, man. We need real men. And again, they might serve a purpose to some people. Some people react differently to different messages, you know, but to me, that's just not it. I don't tune in. I don't care. Hey, great for you. You're a wealthy person, but to me, I'm far richer than these people will ever be because they're just not living biblical values and not setting a very good example, especially for Christians.
The first thing that I have to say is that, you know, biblically speaking, the other day I was reading the Bible. I sent her, I don't know if it was Proverbs, I can't even quote it right now, but it was basically an entire passage that is dedicated to the manosphere, dedicated to men specifically not having discipline in their sexual desires because they think that only us women, because we have a vagina, we have to guard ourselves and have to be disciplined, but you don't. Simply because you have a penis. That's literally their argument. It's you are a woman. You have to be disciplined. I can have four girlfriends. You cannot even talk to another person. Well, I don't know who that's going to work for. It's not going to work for me because if you're talking to four people, I'm going to talk to seven people. That's the first thing. The second thing that I'm going to say is that my friend Michelle, she's married now. She was a traveling nurse. And during her time doing the traveling nurse thing, she was stationed in Chicago for like 3 months. When she was there, she ended up at a party with Dan Bilzerian, right? And she tells me, she's like, this man is surrounded by like 50 women. I mean, there's like 50 women all around this guy. She's like, I have never seen a more soulless, miserable person surrounded by all these women. She's yeah. like, I could literally see through his eyes how miserable he really is inside. And you can cope if you're one of these men that loves him. You can say, oh, you're just jealous because you're old, because you're this, because you're that. You'll never be invited. First of all, I never want to be invited to any of these parties. But she said that. She's like, I was kind of shocked because, you know, here he is in his glory with all these women around him, with alcohol and drugs and all this stuff, being able to sleep with whoever he wants. And he's literally looked miserable. He looked miserable. And I'm not going to say any names. I'm not going to be dirty. I'm not going to be petty. But I will tell you that I have seen, remember, all of these guys live in Miami. Sneeko, the Fresh and Fit guys, the Jay Waller guy, they all live in Miami. Some of them literally live walking distance from where I live. And I'm telling you right now, that on one or two occasions, I've seen some of these guys out with very unfortunate looking trashy women. You're not going to see them out with a beautiful Wilhelmina model. You're not going to see them out with a hot little Latina. You're not. You're going to see them with the trashiest, biggest, like, whores of women that's who you're going to see them out with, because that is that is actually the only women that are going to be attracted energetically to them, you know.
Speaking of which, Anthony, I want to play this video for you. So within the manosphere, there's a trend that exists of the passport bros, where they advise men to go off to countries like third world countries of poverty and find a wife there because they're more traditional.
Passport bros is what they're called.
Yeah, passport bros. They're called passport bros, and they basically travel to these third world countries in hopes of finding a more traditional wife. Now, I'll set up this video by bringing up again the point that we just made, which is that a lot of these men choose their religion and are flocking towards Islam because they believe that in Islam it is allowed and celebrated when a man has several girlfriends, completely ignoring that even in the Quran, a man is still asked to take responsibility and step up as a husband, not a boyfriend to seven people. But I want to play this video for you and get your thoughts. Let me make sure that it's at the beginning.
Arab household, the man usually is the provider financially, and that's just how it is.
That is just something I wasn't prepared for.
Most Arab women expect that.
Just like most American people expect the woman to contribute half. Or not half, just contribute.
But you're not dealing with an American woman.
No, but she'd have to deal with some of my things, though, too.
This was definitely not what I wanted to hear. I thought Moroccan women prioritize family over material things, and I was not anticipating that it would mean I have to be the sole provider for a household. I didn't sign up for this.
What?
So, passport bro has a hard reality and realizes that Arab women, just like every other female species in the world, whether it's human or otherwise, expects their male counterpart to offer safety and protection, and amongst that is also providing the safety of a home.
Wait, if you don't know what passport bros are, because I don't know if Anthony knows. Since
we just explained it to him.
This is the first time I'm hearing about it. Yeah.
Okay. So basically, it's
a phenomenon.
Right. It's a phenomenon. And basically, these men are tired of the modern day women here in America. And they also want a cheaper wife and stuff like that. So then they can easily impress the woman in Colombia because the dollar exchange is a lot cheaper. So that's what they do. And they go to try to find a wife. She needs a green card. She wants to get out of the Philippines or Morocco or whatever it is. And then this happens. So that's what the passport bros are. Also, just really quickly, because there's this guy that says, oh, coping in the stream off the chart. Dan is miserable. Oh, give me a break. It's the same myth as unhappy rich people, which is propagated by rich people themselves. Hi, retard. Welcome to our podcast. We're not coping. This is a story of a friend. You don't like the story? That doesn't mean we're coping. Let me tell you something. I live in Miami, surrounded by rich people. You know what rich people are doing? Throwing themselves off fucking buildings because they're committing suicide because they're that miserable. You know where most people are jumping out of? The Icon in Miami, in Brickell, which was one of the most expensive buildings in Miami, jumping out of their $20,000 a month apartments. That happens all the time. Rich people kill themselves too. So this whole idea that you're rich, you have pussy, you have cars, you're not miserable, you're literally living in a delusion. Continue.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's you know, I think that this is like another like misunderstanding by a lot of people is, and this is something that I, you know, I've had to really discipline myself to, is people have this false reality that money equals happiness. If you are an unhappy and unfortunate looking person, you're going to be unhappy no matter what. You're going to learn the hard way that the only reason why people even care about you is because you have money. That's about it. Let me tell you something, man. People like Andrew Tate, again, massive respect for everything he's accomplished. I'm not saying that he's a well-accomplished guy. Again, I don't know exactly, how he obtained that wealth. Obviously, he's going through the court system, how he started off, whatever. And even if it wasn't illegal what he was doing, that's not one way that I would achieve wealth, is using other women to communicate with men online and sexting and all that stuff. Again, as a morally Christian person, I just would never do that. But the thing is that there's so many rich. I mean, look at Robin Williams, for example. Yeah. One of the most, I mean, dude, such a great guy, such a phenomenal actor, brought so much happiness to the world, very wealthy, right? And killed himself. There's so many people that have everything. They would never, and us, you know, out here just trying to make it, just trying to be even middle class are just like, man, if only we obtain that health, that wealth, we'd be happy. One thing that I finally realized is like, dude, happiness is a state of being, and it's something that you have to do every single day. I even like moved away. I caught myself so many times, and I'm sure you ladies have too. You're watching social media. You're watching your favorite influencers or actor or actress. They're in Dubai. They're in the Bahamas. They're in Mexico somewhere, enjoying life on a horseback, whatever. Jordan Peterson, actually, I was just watching a video of his. He said, those are moments in life. Those are things that you get to experience every once in a while. True happiness is in the moment your wife comes home, or you come home from, rather, you come home from work. How does your wife greet you? Is she happy to see you? Is she thankful that you went to work? What about when your children come home from school? How do they receive you? Are they happy to see you? Are they happy to be home? Do they know that they are in a safe environment that loves them, that is going to cherish those moments, right? That's what true happiness is. Bro, I haven't vacationed in like 10 years. The one time that me and my wife like vacation was, we went to Hawaii one time. And I mean, that's still the continental US, or at least the United States, rather. I don't know if it's considered continental US because it is an island. But and we had a good time. But it's not like we reminisce on these moments of like, I wish I can go back. Because if you build a life worth living, you never have to escape it. We're not working paycheck to paycheck, just saving up little bits of money so we can one day escape. I don't sit down with friends or family saying, bro, I cannot wait for this thing so we can get out of here, drop off the kids with the grandparents, and oh my gosh, just get drunk into oblivion. I don't live that. I look forward to every day, bro. Like, honestly, and I mean that genuinely, bro. I'm not out here trying to virtue signal to anyone, trying to make it seem like, hey, I've got it all together. Of course, we all go through our moments in life, right? But literally, like, I'm doing this challenge with my son. Waking up early sucks, dude. You know, but you have to form this habit of waking up early. I literally look forward to my wife's coffee every single morning. She just makes it right. I try making the coffee. It doesn't come out the right way. I don't know what she puts in it. For all I know, she's slow poisoning me. I don't know, right? That's just a joke. You know, but dude, I genuinely look forward to that first sip when I come back from the gym. And I'm like, dude, I cannot wait to have my wife's coffee today. Those are just simple things, man. I cannot wait. I cannot wait to pick up my son from school tomorrow to see the smile in his face. Like, those are the moments that you live for. Those are, if you have that, like, dude, no Bugattis in the world, no amount of money in the world can ever truly replace those little moments in life, bro, that you have to be there for. You have to be present for. You have to cherish them. I know one saying that a lot of people say is, you never know what you had until it's gone. Until it's in the past, you're like, damn, bro, we actually had it good. I'm kind of the opposite. I'm one of those people that I'm seeing what's happening. Dude, I can't tell you how many times I go into my 7-year-old. Just a simple fact. I mean, dude, it blows my mind. I'll be playing Mario Party with my son on a Nintendo Switch. I look over to him. He's 7 years old now. His birthday was just a couple weeks ago. I look over to him and I cherish the moment, because when I was 7 years old, I never had my dad to look over to me and say, good job, son. I never had that. So just that alone is worth more than any trip in the world to the fanciest dinners in the world. Being able to tell myself, dude, I did it. My great-grandfather abandoned his wife and his children for other women. My grandfather abandoned his wife for other women. And he abandoned his children. My father never married my mother and abandoned me at 3 years old for other. And, you know, I've since reconciled with my dad. I'm actually, I have a pretty decent relationship with him. Not trying to knock the guy. But I'm looking at these generational sins that I would have never been able to break if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, my King of Kings. And here I am breaking this cycle. Married before having children. Married young, you know. And it comes with flaws. It's hardships that you go through, right? No marriage is perfect. Not saying mine is. It's gone a long way to where we are today. But being able to look at my son, and we're playing Mario Party, and he's laughing, and he's giggling, and I'm tickling him, and he's just kind of like, you know, squirming around. I'm like, dude, that's something I never had. And that to me is worth more than
the value, more than
everything, man. You know what I'm saying?
Can I tell you?
Go ahead. Yeah.
I had an experience earlier this year in January. We lost one of our dogs. It's a dog that my husband was with for about 6 years before him and I got together, but very much our dog, right? We don't have children, so we have our dogs that we love. And in January, his dog got sick, our dog, but his dog, I make that emphasis because it's important. His dog got sick and I was completely devastated by it because these are like our children. And I remember it sticking out to me that my husband made such a point to remain composed for both of us, to remain in a masculine energy of leadership that allowed me to mourn that, even at the sacrifice of his own mourning to it, because he took that position of leadership. And I it sticks out to me, and it's probably something that I'm never going to forget, because I was so grateful for my husband's presence as a masculine leader at that point. The fact that he would take away from himself that moment to grieve what he was rightfully meant to grieve, to gift me the opportunity to be in this very soft feminine energy. And I see so much more value in that safe space that a man like my husband would create for me than anything a man with a Bugatti could offer me by making me one of seven. I think it's so important to praise men like you, men like my husband, and praise that there are true women of value that will provide everything that a man biblically needs. And you don't need to have a Bugatti. You don't need to have a six pack. You don't need to be 6 feet tall. The qualities that really attract women to men are not those things. They are this moment. They are these moments where men can rise up and be true men and leaders within their homes.
I just think that everything that we're seeing right now, whether it's from the manosphere, and by the way, we got to wrap it up because we're almost out 2 hours, from the manosphere or even the DeSantis, Trump situation and everything else, it's just like the internet's not real world. Like the internet's just not real world. It's not that the modern day woman sucks. Like even these women, you know, I like Bernadine. I like many of these girls that go on these podcasts. Ali's another one. But at the end of the day, like they're still on the internet selling their business, whatever it is, to make money. Or whatever, or to inform, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But it, you know, the modern day woman sucks. The modern day woman sucks. Well, a lot of you guys say that, but you're still using modern day tools to be able to spread your message and to be able to profit from it or create a course or whatever it is. I'm not hating on it, right? But somebody brought up that point today. I'm surrounded by women who are all, for the most part, traditional, who do want to stay home and take care of the kids, who did sacrifice a lot. Let me tell you something. All the girls, I was in a sorority in college. All the girls that I went to school with that where we were in the same, what is it called? Same sorority and whatnot. Mm-hmm. They could have all chosen the rich older guy when we were 20 years old, 21 years old, and just settled for a rich older guy that we, you know, would buy us bottles or drinks at the club. No one did that. No one did that. Everybody stayed with their college sweethearts that were equally poor, maybe not poor, but you know what it is. You start from zero and build a family.
They wanted build to build a life and harvest together. Plant literally to harvest together.
Everyone that I know. Okay. And we're talking about women that are in a very sinful city like Miami that have a lot of options. There's clubs, there's pool parties, there's yacht parties. We're talking about, so if in this city you're still finding those type of women, and you know that as well, imagine the rest of America that is in LA, that is in New York, that is in Vegas, that is in Miami or any big cities. Sure.
Good women are still out there. There's
a lot of good women. And there's a lot of good men as well. There's shitty men, there's shitty women, it's all the same. And I think that because of social media, these things are amplified and are seen as a bigger deal than it is. Oh, everyone's an OnlyFans. No, they're not. There's a lot of women like us, many women. There are girls that are on OnlyFans selling themselves and being, you know, completely whatever you want to call it, hoes or not hoes. There's a lot of those women. But the reality is that there's also a lot of us. right? And there's also a lot of Anthonys out there. And there's also the majority of the people are like that. I mean, who I'm surrounding myself with and have what?
No, there's only one of me.
Yeah, there's only one. I want to read, I want to take a moment to read this super chat from David. David, thank you so much. Sorry it took us so long to get to it, but we appreciate you. Spaniard Panhandle Florida man here again. Every parent should read the package insert of each vaccine they want to give their kids and look at how many vaccines were on your childhood schedule versus theirs today. Also, there is nothing more important in the world than motherhood. Amen. And thank you for that, David. Mm-hmm. I know we're wrapping up. We got
$200.
That's right.
Thank
you. Our
followers
love us. Followers love us.
They love us.
They love us and they love you.
Damn.
I do want to play this. I'm not going to ask for a lot of commentary because we don't have a lot of time. But before we wrap up and go to our sponsors, I want to course correct this ad that Ron DeSantis dropped. So for those of you that are unaware, Ron DeSantis is currently getting a lot of heat on Twitter because part of his ad was that he used an AI-generated image of Trump being friendly towards Fauci. And I want to show this to you guys, and then I just want to debunk it very quickly before we go home. So I'm going to go ahead and play this for you. Let's pick up here where the DeSantis War Room video is at. And then I'll play it, I'll cut it off a few minutes before the end once the main thing comes up.
You're fired. You're fired. You're all fired. All four are fired. What? You're fired.
I didn't want
you're
you to.
Fired. Today I walk in, I hear I'm going to fire him. I'm not firing him. I think he's a wonderful guy.
Should you have fired Fauci?
So a lot of people ask me that question, and I did it right. Because if you do fire him, you're going to have a firestorm on the left again.
Why did you feel unable to fire Fauci? Personally, you're not allowed to.
Every time he goes on television, there's always a bomb. But there's a bigger bomb if you fire him.
So this is why this is the scene that's important. You have all of these images of Trump sitting with Fauci that are in fact real. But mixed into these images, you've got these fake AI images to give the impression that Trump's relationship with Fauci was a lot closer than what it actually was. We don't have a lot of time to give commentary, but we wanted to leave this next video here for you guys so that you have a way of debunking it. What Trump has said time and time again is that Fauci had a lot of red tape surrounding him. You can't just fire Fauci because he had been around for over 45 years in this country as the head of infectious diseases and so on and so forth, worked under every president since, was it Reagan or Bush, or Bush Senior? So getting rid of him was not easy. And don't take Trump's word for it. Here is Christina Pusha. What is her official title?
She is basically the spokeswoman for Governor DeSantis. She's like running his entire campaign. They've just given her like a shadow role because she is registered as a foreign agent, as she was working overseas with like the Zelensky regime and like other people. She's a very, very shady character. But I just want to correct you on something, because that video did get community noted on Twitter. We weren't able to talk about that today, but Twitter has a method of fact checking posts or adding context to tweets that are not true or whatever it may be. It's basically the equivalent of fact checkers on Instagram and Facebook, and it's being weaponized by the DeSantis team and Elon Musk to basically debunk or add context to anything and everything a Trump surrogate or a Trump campaign member
and
says.
And fortify the elections. Ron DeSantis.
So basically, under that AI generated image, it says that, but it also says Donald Trump could not. Literally, they posted it. I'm shocked you didn't see it on the text. It said that Donald Trump could not get rid of Fauci because, and then they list the reasons why.
Let's hear it directly from Ms. Christina Pusha herself, who is the one leading the attacks against President Trump. Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to back up the interview that you're referring to where he mentioned Fauci, and you know, CNN framed it as though it was an attack on Trump. It wasn't. He didn't mention Trump. He mentioned Fauci by name. And he clearly, if you listen to the context of that interview on the Ruthless podcast, he clearly put the blame on Fauci for this idea that lockdowns would work to control the spread. And, you know, I think, though, let's say, you know, one day Governor DeSantis is president and Fauci is still around. And again, like I said, I don't know what he's going to do, but
Fauci would be 83.
I mean,
just so you know.
I mean, he seems
if DeSantis was president, he would be 83.
He seems like he's still pretty energetic and obviously has a huge role in the Biden administration, a very negative role, but he has a lot of power. So seems to, you know, as old as he is, still has, he's still sharp. I would say as a civil servant, you're limited in terms of what you can do in terms of firing civil servants. But as far as your question about.
There we go. That is Governor DeSantis's spokeswoman
herself,
who's only 31 years old. This woman is 31 years old. I'm not going to trash her, but I will say that she has a really bad doctor. It's kind of sad that she looks that way. She used to be really pretty when she was younger. She's only 31 years old. So that's coming straight from the DeSantis campaign has made it their role or their campaign to basically only go after Trump on COVID, to punish him over the vaccines, over the COVID response, over Fauci, that he handed the country to Fauci is basically what he said. I'm going to tell you guys something. Most of the country, Democrats or Republicans that are not perpetually online, have moved on from COVID. I've moved on from COVID. These people are actually making me miss Dr. Fauci of how much they talk about Fauci. And it's not going to work because we're in a really, really bad economy and people are not caring about this. 80% of the population got the vaccine, the first dose. Governor DeSantis got the vaccine. The majority of his supporters got the vaccine. So it's just not going to work. Somebody said, you guys believe Trump was just some genius and not a crazy old man who only cared about his celebrity image.
And then they also said, this is why you conservatives are too far gone. You'll follow Trump into hell. You guys are ruining your country by voting against your own interests. I'm not even going to know because I know
So let me address it. I'm going to address the Soros guy. First of all, if Trump wanted to care or wanted to save his celebrity image, he would have never ran for president. I guess you and I don't live in the same reality where Trump has been trashed and dragged through the mud in the last 6 to 7 years, where he had a cushy, perfect life, where he was invited to awards, where he was best friends with Puff Daddy and Jennifer Lopez, and everybody went to his Mar-a-Lago state for New Year's Eve, and everybody loved him until he ran for president. If he really wanted to conserve his image, he would have stayed as he was, a private person. Back then, because you're sheep, that's what you are. Back then, you didn't hate Trump. You never hated Trump until CNN or your favorite celebrity or somebody told you that Trump was a bad person and you needed to hate him. Also, I'm not really sure why people keep bringing up, this is why you conservatives are far gone. What's far gone? I'm so tired of addressing this far gone, voting against our interests. Let's see, what does the Democratic Party have for us? Higher taxes, mutilation of children, abortion up to 5 months, which Destiny, I guess, seems to agree. What else? No gender roles. Religion is basically like it should be obsolete. They don't care about the Second Amendment. They definitely don't care about freedom of speech. They persecute their political opponents. What exactly do you think that people like me care about? You think that we care about an open border? You think that I care about illegals being arrested or something like that? I can tell you right now that no, I don't want an open border. I don't want illegal immigration. Most people don't, and you probably shouldn't either, because it brings a lot of problems to our communities. That is my answer to that. It's kind of annoying at this point. The support for Trump has only grown within the Latino community, within the Black community, within the gay community. How long are you guys going to keep on with the same fucking bullshit as opposed to talking about policy? How long are you guys going to keep crying about you vote for you vote against your interest.
Your better interest.
What interest?
They think because we're Latinas interest? That we need to vote for
I'm
Democrats.
I'm a citizen.
The Democrats.
I'm a citizen. I don't care about immigration. Okay. If the only thing that I can say about immigration was that Trump offered a pathway to
citizenship for DACA, which the Democrats denied on three separate occasions. Trump still won. He used the military to get money for the wall, and the kids still do not have a pathway to citizenship. Democrats have the majority right now, and they have the presidency, and those kids still do not have a pathway to citizenship. So what are you still crying about? What are you still crying about?
Well, just, we're not going to cry anymore.
What are you still crying about?
Just one piece of advice. One thing I've learned, I think I told you guys before, never, ever communicate with people not even brave enough to upload their profile picture that are just on here. You know what I mean? Because here we are putting our name and our face out in the world. And I don't even agree with the whole like, you know, well, sometimes we want to say things that are going to get us in trouble. Well, if you're mad enough to say it, then just say it with your name attached to it. That's why I kind of like agree with Elon Musk, like verification of every single person. Me personally, like half these people wouldn't even be online if they had to put their full name and their profile picture, because here we were talking about early life. Here we were talking about Weimar Germany, things that can definitely get us even banned or censored, not just on YouTube, but on conservative circles. But here we are with our faces shown because, again, we're not cowards.
You're a coward. You don't. He's like, being president has got him more praise than being any celebrity ever could. It's actually cost him a lot more trouble for him and his family. He literally has to appear in a federal court on Tuesday, and you're still crying about Donald Trump. Jesus Christ. Like, do you need a lobotomy, and you need like seek mental help for real? Like, it's so annoying.
All right. Well,
anyways, guys, please check out our sponsor, Century H2O. If you're looking for a water filtration system under the sink, you can have it done in less than 20 minutes. It's going to remove all the toxins out of your water, chloride, fluoride, all the horrible things that can make you gay or have a calcified pineal gland.
Or believe that voting Democrat is the right thing Democrat, to do.
Right, exactly. And also it's going to add all of these minerals that you need, like calcium and stuff like that. You also get to support an America First Patriot company out of Arizona. So please use our code MPL10 for a small discount. And we are logging off. Thank you, Anthony. No,
one last comment, which is this last donation that came through. Mm-hmm. Thank you, John, for the super chat. This is one of Destiny's fans. And he's like, as a lib, I love Trump. He conquered one side of the establishment and used it to mock and expose the other. And that's exactly why we're Trump supporters, John. Thank you for that feedback. Guys, thank you so much for logging in with us tonight. Anthony, where can they find you?
At Inform with Anthony. I go by Inform with Anthony. I'm here on YouTube. I have a daily morning show, 9 a.m., breaking news, culture, politics, and then over on all other social medias, at Informed with Anthony. You guys can tune in. Just on Twitter, it's a little bit different. It's just my name, at Anthony Cabasa _. So thank you, ladies, for having me. You guys rock.
Thank you so much for being on with us tonight. We will see you next Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern. In the meantime, please like this video if you didn't while you were here. Please subscribe to our channel if you didn't while you were here. And check us out on Instagram and on Twitter, where we are absolutely feral. Thank you. And I will see you next week.
Bye, guys.